Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. I want to wish everyone a happy Halloween. And while I'm talking, I'm going to be dialing for my guests, which are Chuck and Carolina Morangelo, independent filmmakers. So hold on, everybody. Okay, Chuck and Carolina,
okay,
how are you
Chuck
guys
and
doing?
Carolina, how are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing great. How are you?
I don't know why there's an echo. Sorry.
What about now? Can you hear me now?
Let me try. I don't hear the echo now. Do you hear it?
I didn't hear it when you were talking, no.
Okay. Well, now that you're on the air, we're live. There still is the echo. Do you want
I can
to
hear you.
Up with it? Or, okay.
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, because I can start the show over if you want me to.
You can. You want to call me back? Try it again?
Yeah, and see if maybe it doesn't, echo this time. Although it's not echoing. This is
yeah,
one of the things
I don't like. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah,
that's okay.
Blog Talk Radio sometimes doesn't sound great. So maybe it'll be okay now. If it starts to get bad,
okay.
We can always start over. So
you can hear me now.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, great.
It's just that I just keep hearing an echo of my voice. I would like each of you to give the listeners an autobiographical introduction about yourselves. And so, Carolina, we'll start with you.
Okay. So my name is Carolina Morangelo. I'm originally from Poland, but I came to Tampa, Florida around 7 years ago. In 2016, where I met Chuck that time, and we got married, and happily ever after. Right now, I'm here in America. So we started doing movies in around 2017. We found together a passion for movies, and that's how I became an editor. That's how I became as well actress. And producer. So right now, fast forward 7 years later, I'm a full-time editor and actress and movie director, and that's who I am.
Oh. Well, thank you for sharing all that. And Chuck, what about you?
Well, I'm originally from Long Island, New York. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and raised in Long Island. Had a beautiful time in my life there, back in the 60s, 70s, 80s. Great time to be growing up in New York. Played in a real popular rock band back in the late 70s, and used to warm up for like Twisted Sister, the band. We did a lot of popular shows. We were playing, 5-6 nights a week, playing in front of, tens of thousands of folks. Had a great following. And then I moved to Florida and, started doing some work down here. Always was into music. And then over the last 10, 11 years, I was playing with Marty Balin from the Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship. I was his lead guitar player. Me and Marty were great friends, and we had a passion for writing music together. And then I met Carolina, and me and Carolina just, again, hit it off immediately, and we just got into the love of making movies, cinema movies. And one thing led to another, and we started directing, acting, putting our own music in the films, doing everything, filming, editing, post-production, everything that entails making movies.
Oh, cool. Well, thanks for sharing all that.
Now, yes.
In the interest of saving time, I just want to say this. Unless I say a name before the question, it's just for whichever one of you wants to answer. So,
okay.
So you guys have this incredible film called The American Ripper. Now, this is a three-part question, whoever wants to answer whatever part. What inspired the making of the film, and who wrote the screenplay and the story, and then give us a short synopsis of the film.
I wrote the screenplay, and it was a kind of a down on a meltdown when COVID came around, and we wanted to do something different. So we couldn't go out. We're getting the food delivered to our house, and we're trying to stay away from the public. So we said, hey, let's make a film. So for at least a year, from 2000, maybe end of 2019, all the way up to 2021, we were filming this film. Me and Carolina put our souls, you know, our heart and soul into it, and we just came down to making this thing happen, you know, production. I wrote the screenplay, and I asked Carolina, does she want to play the American Ripper? And she says, no, you play the American Ripper. So I played the part of a psychopathic killer, basically. It came out really great. And we filmed it and did everything ourselves. And Carolina can tell you more, a little bit of the synopsis on it.
Oh, okay. Carolina,
so,
go ahead.
So everything Chuck said is true. We were working just me and him together because unfortunately, as you know, on the lockdown during COVID, we couldn't hire a new production crew, any actors. So we were thinking, well, we still wanted to make a film, but we had to work around it and just decided, you know, we're going to take all the shots and ourselves, and we took camera and we start shooting everything ourselves. So the synopsis, well, the movie, it's basically about a couple that moves into a new house by the lake, and the house is a little bit haunted, cursed. The lake is cursed. There's, you know, the couple that's Chuck and we are playing Bobby and Lola. Bobby's an attorney. Lola is his wife. And they are just, you know, enjoying their life, and everything goes fine until Bobby starts feeling the presence of the spirits of the house, and he starts changing. And as the movie goes on, he transitions into a maniac murderer psychopath. So he becomes Henry, and that's his another personality.
Oh. Henry's basically a landowner there 100 years before that was a fruit grower. He grew oranges. And he was convicted of manslaughter, murder, and rape. And they tore down his house. So this house that we purchased was purchased, was the previous house of Henry Barcelona. And the house had some hauntings going on there, and it kind of had like this possession of paranormal stuff happening, and I was possessed. So he had this fetish, this landowner, Henry Barcelona, to rape basically prostitutes. So you know, just like the Jack Ripper in England, he had a fetish, you know, prostitutes. So he had this thing about killing prostitutes, and he had one of these prostitutes that was called Maria that he liked so much that he didn't kill her. He did a lot of interesting things to her that we won't tell you too much because we'd like you to watch the film. Henry is a psychopath maniac, and he's not cool. He's a bad guy. Get into studying that part, how to play that part. It was very intense.
Wow, that sounds really, really good. Well, Carolina, so I'd like you to go into a little more detail about the character of Lola Benelli.
Yes, okay. Lola, she's a mature wife of Bobby. She's very supportive, caring woman. She's always by his side, and she's very happy, you know, easy to go person. So she's very excited about purchasing this new house and moving in. So she doesn't, she doesn't expect anything to happen in this house. So when Bobby starts behaving differently and starts being very weird, she starts being suspicious what's going on with her husband. And eventually she just, can't take it anymore, and she starts researching what's going on. Too late for her because Bobby is already heavily, transitions into Henry, into the psychopath, and unfortunately, she gets knocked down by him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so
Yeah, it's
Chuck, I
pretty
know you
intense.
talked to. Yeah, it is. So you've told us a little bit. Is there anything else that you want to tell us about Bobby?
Bobby is this, a trial attorney. He's a well-to-do kind of trial attorney, works with judges, has a daily life going to see the courtroom, and then comes home to see his wife. But over this period of a few days, something starts changing in Bobby. He starts again turning into Henry. And Henry again is, this madman. To play that part, I had to get into Henry a little bit more. So I started studying Charles Manson. I started studying Jeffrey Dahmer. I started studying, Ted Bundy, and looking at their interviews and trying to see, how a psychopath really acts, a maniac, a killer. So I took a lot of those ingredients from these guys. It helped me kind of write the screenplay. I used a lot of that, in the acting performance. And I also transitioned where I gained a lot of weight. I wanted to transform into, as time goes on throughout the movie, I'm getting heavier and heavier. My hair's growing. I'm becoming a maniac, and sideburns are growing. My eyelashes are growing. Just transforming, just like the Wolfman, transforming into another person. So, it was a lot of fun, and making it all happen.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it would be a lot of fun. Now, this Curve Lake and Barcelona Lake. Now, I know that Carolina had mentioned the haunt being haunted, but tell the listeners about Curve Lake and Barcelona Lake, and how are they haunted, like by whom, et cetera.
So, in the movie, we just portrayed that newly married couple is moving to the new house by the lake, which is called Curve Lake. However, the Curve Lake name is not really a real name that used to be long time ago, because Lola, she discovers that the Curve Lake is actually called Barcelona Lake. And why, she doesn't know in the beginning, but as the movie goes on, she discovers more secrets of this lake. And the lake is cursed, the lake, because, as you know, Henry Barcelona, which is a character that
His
Chuck is
body.
playing, he had a fetish to kill prostitutes, so he was throwing the bodies into the lake. And, at the end, the lake became cursed by all these killings, and that's why the spirits remains around the lake, and the couple doesn't know that the Curve Lake is actually being called Barcelona Lake, and that's why they discovered later.
A lot of bodies were thrown in the lake. Over 50 bodies.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, yeah, I guess they would keep something like that out of telling people when they sell the house to them. Excuse
Exactly.
me, I
Now,
had
Mac,
to.
that was that's interesting because the real estate agent in the film does not tell us that there was a murder in that house, and was previously this new house was on an old house that was a serial killer, basically.
An interesting fact that in the film we wanted to actually use a real life real estate agent, and our beautiful, actress which is called Adeline Godfrey. It's played by Angela Grannon. So she is a real life a real estate agent, and that's an interesting fact that we actually hired her.
Oh, wow. That was actually going to be one of my questions, not specifically about her, but I'll get to it eventually. So tell our listeners how you came up with some of the characters, whichever or both of you want to.
All right, so we know about my character, and we know about Carolina's character. I played Bobby in the beginning, Bobby Benelli, and Lola Benelli is Carolina's part. And then I transform into Henry Barcelona, and Carolina transfers from Lola Benelli into Maria. And Maria is, she knows what's going on. She keeps telling her husband, look, I'm not Maria. I'm your wife. I'm your wife. This is Lola. But I just can't seem to grasp that situation because I'm just too far gone by that time in the movie. So we did use a real estate agent, which was Angela, which she plays the part of Adeline Godfrey. And then we had other people that we had to fit them in the movie because of lockdown. We would just fit them in. We had to make sure that they weren't positive for COVID. So we used a doctor friend of mine. He's a professional chiropractor. And I used his office. So we made his office into a detective's office. We changed. Yes, his name's Scott Esenberg. And we changed all of his wall plaques that said Detective O'Hara. So we changed his whole room to make it look like it was a police office. We used my neighbor. My neighbor, Ross. He basically played Detective Beck. Comes to investigate the killings. We don't want to tell you too much what happens there. We used Carolina's, which is Lola's mama, Lola's mom, which is Chantel, that plays the part of her mother. And then we used Chantel's husband, which his name is Dale, as the comedian that's on TV. So, and then we used my friend Troy Davis and his wife Michelle Davis and their son Peyton Davis.
So the whole family.
You use the whole family in the film, and Troy's he's the nosy pest control guy that comes over to spray the house. We don't want to tell you what happens with him. And Michelle, he plays the part of the dispatcher, which is his wife for the police department. We use another guy named Johnny, which is the kind of handyman around the house. Who else was there?
The one friend that played a part of a nosy neighbor unfortunately passed away. His name is Kurt Wyka. So we actually dedicated that movie to him because, he never had a chance to watch it. So he watched the rough cut, but he never had a chance to see the final with us, but he played an amazing part in our movie, and we were very proud of him. He's a nosy neighbor. So he has a dog named Tina, and they're coming, they keep coming to the house thinking that something is going on, something is wrong in the house, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah, his dog played a part in the film, Chihuahua, her name was Tina. And then we have his daughter plays, Katie Wyka, plays a cricket in the movie as well. She's the college girl that comes home from college. And she starts to wonder, there's something going on with the neighbors and, why are they acting bizarre and crazy? There's a lot of commotion going on at night. We hear screams going on in the house. And then we have Jill and
Jim.
And Jim. Jim's a friend of mine. His actually real name is Jeff Hoskins. And then we have Jocelyn Sweet, which plays Jill. There are friends that actually are in the movie that are coming over to wish us luck with our new home.
And other
actors as well that played throughout the film. So that's the cast throughout the film.
Interesting. Okay, now you talked a little bit. I'm sorry, you were going to say something else. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. I think we answered your question.
Okay. Yeah, well, sometimes because of the there's like a little bit of a lag sometimes. I can't tell sometimes
That's
when
okay.
people are talking. Now, we already know that the name is American Ripper, the American Ripper, and I'm sure that most people know why it's called that. But for those that haven't figured it out yet, explain why it's called the American Ripper.
The American Ripper is the the American Jack Ripper here in America, other than Jack the Ripper over in England with Sherlock Holmes trying to investigate, you know, Jack the Ripper in London and England. We have the American Ripper. So we have the American Ripper over here in America, similar to Jack the Ripper, but we put our own Hollywood twist on it.
The reason why we called it is just like you said, because of the Jack the Ripper. We thought it's cool because, you know, Jack the Ripper had a fetish to kill prostitutes. And, you know, here in the American Ripper, Henry is also the maniac, madman. He's also doing the same. But there was a lot of other titles we wanted to name this movie. So our initial working title, believe it or not, it was Curse of Curved Lake. And we wanted to name it like that, but then we thought, it's better the American Ripper. We love that name, you know, the American Ripper. There's nothing like that, so we thought it's cool.
Well, there's also the added thing that it's almost immediately you can associate it with Jack the Ripper. Just by putting Ripper
in
there.
Yes. Or the American Psycho. So I was intrigued by Christian Bale's part in the American Psycho, which I thought was a very cool part that he played.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was inspired by, you know, Jack Nicholson in The Shining, inspired by Anthony Perkins in The Psycho. You know, I was inspired by a lot of my favorite great actors, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I could tell. Now, you've already talked some about, you know, where you shot the film and everything, but this is where I'm going to let you go into more detail, if you want to, about where you shot the film and why you chose that specific location, things like that.
That's a good question. So the reason why we shot the film in Florida is because that's where we live. In Florida, and we live on a beautiful lake. So we actually shot the film in our own home because we could not be, you know, shooting it anywhere else. We actually shot in other areas that were associated to around the area. You know, we shot in a grill where people eat, you know, food. We actually got permission to shoot at the restaurant there. We shot at an old historical hardware store that's over 100 years old. We thought it would be the perfect setting to shoot the hardware store with our friend Charlie Hall. She plays the part of Emily, the store owner. So we shot there. Again, we shot at a chiropractor's office. We did, you know, a majority of the film is shot right here on the lake, right on Curve Lake. So a lot of the setting was here. We couldn't really be, you know, Hollywood was shut down. They weren't making any movies. So we were kind of like, okay, we got to make this movie somehow. And that's how we figured out to shoot it locally in our home setting.
Hmm. Interesting. And of course, in the independent film industry, and actually even in Hollywood too, that's what they kind of had to do. Stuff that they weren't used to doing, like having remote parts being done, because I have a good friend that did his film that way, that most of the parts were remotely done, that they filmed it and then they sent it to him and then he edited it into the film. And it's kind of what you had to do. So
yes,
now
we,
you've already I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's exactly what we did, Mac. We basically we had to figure this out. So, you know, we weren't making public appearances anywhere, basically. So we kind of used our friends to help us out. Some professional actors, some actors that had no acting experience at all, but we worked with them for a month. They would come over and practice their lines until we had that sweet take, until the take was perfect. And we would shoot the shot. And they looked like professional actors in the film.
Cool. Carolina, you sounded like you were starting to say something.
Oh, no. I was just, we were talking about how we shot it here locally in Florida. But yes, I'm an editor, so I edited the entire film. So fortunately, we didn't have to send anybody the footage because I had it all. And as soon as we were done with the scene, I was happily starting editing all of the scenes and putting them together. The challenge, but yes, we had an in-house editor, which was me. So, you know, we did it all. And, it, you know, it was a lot of work. I got to tell you that year and a half we were shooting the scenes and we took, you know, a lot of time, a lot of thinking, there was a lot of preparation. I was putting my own makeup, effects makeup. So I was, you know, getting ready for 4 or 5 hours, just putting all the wounds on me. And it was challenging, but then, you know, we were trying to get this best take. And, you know, half of the movie, I'm playing a tortured girl. So I'm basically in bed, you know, tied up with the computer cables. And, you know, Lola is just, you know, begging to have her life saved. And it was challenging because, you know, every time for a year and a half, as I said, you know, I had to work on this FX makeup and make sure that everything works right. And at the end, we had a footage, and fortunately, we didn't have to send it anywhere. I had it with me.
And, Mac, the other thing is that for the viewers to know that Carolina was in her bra and her underwear the majority of the film. Sitting in an air-conditioned room tied up with old computer cables with makeup that she had put on previously at like 5 o'clock in the morning to be ready to shoot a scene at 8 o'clock. She won Best Actress for her film that she put out. She won the Best Female Actress in the film here and was awarded that. And then recently, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were awarded the Best Featured Film. Which
in
Orlando's Film Festival, which was friends Shelley Stokes and John Allman and the rest of the crew. So we're really excited about that. And then was other awards we won. I think we even won an award in Ohio.
One in Atlanta.
Yeah, because
well.
I think Mac is from in that area. So
yeah.
We won one in Los Angeles and one in Ohio. Two, I think one or two in Ohio. So so we were excited to know that from all this hard work that we did. People were recognizing the work that we had put together as artists, you know, as film artists.
Mm. Well, now I know that it was done during COVID because we already talked about that. Well, you did. Are there any other challenges that you faced during production that you want to talk about that you haven't talked about already?
Oh yeah, there are like one challenge after another. You know, a full budget movie that requires everything, you know, lighting, gaffer, audio person, camera people, and set design, and everybody to work on a movie set together to do the movie where we didn't have any crew. So imagine doing that just only by two people. So I'm trying to say it just took a lot of time and challenging times just to work as a husband and wife team because we are married, you know, and we had to somehow get into compromise many times and compromise the situation and agree on the situation, what we're supposed to do, because, you know, we are here together, we are locked in one home and we are trying to do movies together. So you have to work with your spouse, you know, and it was challenging as well. But, you know, Chuck is a great leader, so Chuck was managing most of the time the situation and was just encouraging me, encouraging me to work harder because without him, I don't know, I wouldn't probably be getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning, honestly. So he was always there, and he was always there to encourage me. And another thing that I have to tell you that I will never forget during this production, it's just countless of hours me being in bed filming this movie in a freezing cold room with an air conditioning blasting on, and I had only underwear on me, so I was just begging Chuck to give me the blanket. He was giving me the blanket, but then we had to shoot the scene. Blanket is off, and I'm shivering to death, so I was really, really cold, you know, so I will never forget that because, you know, Florida, it's hot. He's hot, you know, because he's operating all this equipment. I'm freezing, so that was a challenge.
That's exactly what happened. She was in a position where it was very challenging for her. You know, we did do all the entire music score too. So me and Caroline are both musicians. She's a singer. I'm a singer. I play guitar. She's a, you know, a professional singer. So we're trying to get very unique sounds out of the guitar. I endorse this Tonewood device two friends of mine that they made it. They're famous throughout the world for this acoustic device. And I started to get different sounds with this device that I would put on the back of the guitar. And, you know, tune my strings down. I was slapping the neck, you know, hitting the strings, distorting the strings, you know, getting them to feedback. And it's just unbelievable some of the sounds that I got out of this acoustic guitar, that it doesn't even sound like a guitar. It sounds like it's something you've never heard. And you can hear it throughout the film. So.
Cool. Well, you guys are definitely talented. I mean, and in the filmmaking industry, as you know, it does help to be able to do a lot of things and not just one thing.
Yes. Exactly.
So you guys are a husband and wife filmmaking team, and some of this you've already talked about, but you both acted and you filmed the entire movie by yourselves with no film crew. But what I'm interested to know is, how did you make it look like you had this huge film crew with a very big budget?
That's a good question. So it does look like we have a major film crew. It looks like we have a big production. It looks like it's big budget film. We were very meticulous of making the cinematography just perfect. You know, we knew from, you know, our you know, people that we've studied, you know, from great film directors, from Stanley Kubrick to Oliver Stone to, you know, the filmmakers that we all like, to basically put our own twist on it, put our own Hollywood on it. So we had to do close-up shots. We had to do our medium shots, our far shots, our detailed shots. Everything was very detailed. We would use a stick, you know, we would use the tripod, and then we would shoot off stick, and then we would shoot, you know, free holding the camera. When Carolina was in bed, I was shooting her. I'd stand over the top of her and shoot straight down on her. I'd shoot on the side, and we were both in the scene. We had to have the tripod set up, and we'd have the tripod setting perfectly. And lighting was a major part, so we had to make sure the lighting was good, the depth of field was good. We had to make sure that the shadowing was perfect. So we added a lot of those effects, and it basically looks like we have a film crew of 50, 60 people.
Wow. Yeah, that's hard to do, but you know, there are a lot of independents that are able to do that. I've seen quite a few movies that have that look and feel to it. There's this one.
Yeah, I mean, one of our.
I'm sorry. It's your show. Your show.
No, that's okay. Yeah, so I'll give you an idea. One of our films that we wanted to make it look organic. We wanted to make it look very natural. We didn't want it to look like it was a big budget film. We wanted to make it look like we were just, you know, it was really happening. And one of our other films is called Amityville, Mount Misery Road. And we filmed it in, you know, 10-degree weather. And I filmed it on a cell phone. So I basically filmed it on a cell phone, and they consider it like a Blair Witch film. And we submitted it to our distribution company in Los Angeles. And the next thing we know, we're all over the world with this film that I shot on my cell phone.
And in Walmart.
It was sold out in Walmart within a week or two. So, you know, we wanted to take a different approach. So,
but this movie, The American Ripper, is, you know, is just in, we were inspired by the movies, like, you know, The Shining. You have this famous Stanley Kubrick shot, which goes, you know, right below that actor shooting up. And you can find the shot, Stanley Kubrick shot, throughout our whole movie. So it's right at the fridge when Henry is standing and writing something on the fridge. It's right below him when he's entering the door. So the cinematography, we had to think about it and we had to write it down. And we have to make a, you know, list of shots that we need. And in the end, me as an editor, I had to put it together, which took me again a year, like a good year to just put all these shots together, maybe a year and a half with music and sounds and put all the soundtrack into it. But yeah, that's how you make it work, you know, by editing.
Well, oh, exactly. And since you are the editor, Carolina, I just wanted to say that the award that the film itself won, I mean, you won an award for your acting, which I'm sure that you were excited about that. But the film winning is in a large part due to you for editing, because as anybody listening, and I'm sure the two of you know as well, if you've got a good editor, you'll have a good movie. If you don't have a good editor, you won't have a good movie.
Thank you so much. I'm glad that you recognize that. Yes, I think editing part is a cherry on the top, and
key to the door.
Yes, and even if you have a bad acting, and even if you have really limited footage, the editor can just make it happen. And I know that because I experienced that. I experienced that for 6 years editing different things. I'm a content creator as well. So, you know, I can basically take, imagine there's nothing in the fridge, and I can still make a dinner out of nothing in the fridge, because if you're a good chef, you know how to cook, you know how to edit. So thank you for recognizing that.
Well, I'm not really like a filmmaker per se. I mean, I have done a couple really low budget stuff, but that's neither here nor there. But I have friends in the business, and I also have family in the business. Some of my family is like really, really famous that I don't say their names for many, many reasons, because they would just bug them, which they already get bugged by people anyway. And I'm not one. I was never one of those people that would bug people. Like, if you're going out to dinner, you want to go out to dinner. You don't want people bugging you for your autograph. I mean, let the people eat. <You
know? laughs>
But, yeah, that's the kind of stuff that happens. And sometimes people find out anyway, because I've gotten, messages from these people saying, because one of my famous relatives is an uncle of mine, and they'll say, well, your uncle, and then they'll say his name. But I just pretend like I don't know who that is. He's got this and that and the other thing, and why don't you get this for me? I'm like, first of all, I'm not going to ask him for anything for you. I don't even ask him for anything for me. Why would I bug him about some stranger that he doesn't know? But that's the thing that happens is when people find out you have somebody famous in your family, it's like, they expect things from you or to get to them. It's like, you know, whatever. Just go and do your business and leave me alone and leave my family alone. But they don't need that. I don't need that. I have a really good friend. Well, I should say had, because she passed away. But and she was a Star Trek actress. And she used to get bugged by people all the time for her autograph and for photos. Now, mind you, as you know, that these people that go to conventions, most of them, that's how they make their money, is by selling merchandise, whether it be, you know, the toys that were made in their image or photos of them doing whatever it was that they did. That's how they get like a bulk of their money. And for these people to demand that they not just send it to them, but send it to them for free and not even offer to pay the postage or anything. And she got that a lot, and she would just get so bewildered by it all. She's like, I can't believe people. And she was the sweetest person in the world. She would even tell these people, well, you know, it costs me money to print the pictures. It costs me money for the paper that I have to print them on. It costs me money to send it. I don't mind sending you the photo with my autograph, but I would at least need you to pay the postage. And these people would refuse and then get mad when she would refuse.
Oh, no.
That's not good. So, no, not at all. And, you know, I don't know if you've experienced that yet, because you don't have to be like a big, big star to experience anything like that. You can just be somebody that that somebody has seen a lot of. Like, say you've been in 20 movies. It's like, hey, I know that person. You may not even know their name. Oh, yeah, I know you. Hey, I saw you in a couple of movies.
Yeah,
you don't want to get bothered either.
Great.
I think that, if you're not feeling comfortable with giving you autographs, you don't have to. I mean, we are all free people. However, mm-hmm. you know, in my point of view, I don't mind. I will be more than happy if somebody asks me just to, you know, if I can make somebody happy by giving them my autograph. I don't mind. I'm still young, so, you know, I don't mind giving out my autograph or poster or something, you know, until it gets to the point when, just like you said, it may be too much. But right now, I'm very open. I love people. I think people are beautiful beings, you know, and I like to make them happy. And if my autograph can make them happy, why not?
Oh, yeah. Well, and you know what? Most famous people are that way. It's just that there are a select few people that will make it bad for everybody else. You've heard of the bad apple term.
Yes, yes.
One bad apple, yeah, can ruin the whole bunch. A short example, I have a famous writer friend that he writes a lot for Star Trek. And he was at a book signing. Now, mind you, the whole point of a book signing is for the author to sign the books so that people will buy them. They buy them and then they sign them, and then that's how they get their autograph. Well, this guy came in, didn't buy a book. He had a great big bag full of my friend's books that he had written and demanded that he sign them all. And my friend refused. So this person took it upon themselves to go online and badmouth my friend, and he got piled on because it wasn't just me.
Oh, that's
a
sad.
Bunch of people. Yeah, because you don't do that. And my friend even told me that if he would have said, would you mind signing these and then sending them to me if I pay you for the postage, he would have signed them all and then sent them to him postage. You know, he would have even paid the postage. But for him to demand it, that's something different. Well, because it's your job.
Yeah.
And it's what you want. Like you said, Carolina, if you want to do it, that's one thing. But if somebody acts like you have to do it, that's completely different. Because one of my jobs a while back when I was younger, before I became a nurse, I was working as a nursing assistant in this one place. And they had a physical therapist that would come in, but the physical therapist had gotten sick. So now, mind you, I'm just nobody. I'm just like slightly over a teenager. In fact, I started there when I was a teenager. I was 19. So I was maybe 21 at the time. And so when this person got sick, I was doing all the physical therapy, and I was having fun doing it. I liked doing it. It was fun. I liked it. And so I would do it. But one day, somebody came up to me and said, you have to go do some physical therapy. And I said, what are you talking about? I've got my other stuff I've got to do here. Well, you have to go do that. I said, no, I don't. I'm not the physical therapist. Well, you have to do it. And I said, no, that's not in my job description. It was the idea that they were telling me that I had to do it. So here's what I said to him. I said, tell you what, pay me what you pay the physical therapist, and I'll be happy to be the physical therapist. And guess who they never asked to do it again? Me. Well, sorry, I didn't mean to go on talking about me.
But again, Mac, I witnessed my friend, Marty Ballin. We would play shows in New York, and there would be, you know, these people that had memorabilia. They would sell Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship memorabilia, and they'd be waiting in lines for Marty to sign and sign his autograph. You know, I mean, literally, I couldn't believe it. Marty would just sit there for an hour just signing this one picture of the Jefferson Airplane. And, you know, Marty was very humble to just sign this guy's pictures that he would use and sell them on eBay, or he would sell them at different concerts. Marty didn't ask him for any money. He didn't ask him for anything. He would just sign. And I noticed Marty's hand was swollen after signing. I would say, look, your hand is swollen. Don't worry about it, you know. But some people, you know, they get bombarded by people wanting their autographs. And after a while, it could probably, you know, it could be a pain, you know. So it goes both ways, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, because, everybody's people. People are people. But sometimes the fans, and that's where they get their name fans from the word fanatic, they go fanatic, and then they just expect that person to do whatever it is that they want just because they happen to be a fan of theirs. Like, no,
right.
It's just a person. They go to the bathroom the same as everybody else. They put their socks on one at a time, just like everybody else. Yeah, that's all true. However, why would you give them less respect than you would some total stranger?
Mm-hmm.
If you understand what I mean. Like, if you go into a restaurant, or even somebody you know, my housemate and I were just talking about this. I said, if I went into a restaurant and I saw you sitting there with your boyfriend, and I was with my boyfriend, I don't have one right now, but, you know, we were just talking, and I walk in with my boyfriend, and you're sitting there with yours, I would stop and say hello. I'd say, hello, Rob, because her boyfriend's name is Rob. And I'd say, this is, you know, whatever my boyfriend his name was, non-existent boyfriend. And then I say, you know, how are you guys doing? And then, we're going to go eat. And I wouldn't bug them, and they're my friends. So why would I bug a total stranger? See, that to me doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Now, I know we kind of went over it. So how many actual days did it take to shoot the film? Was it 2 weeks like you said, or was it a little bit longer?
No, this film took more than 2 weeks. I mean, we were shooting it for just the bed scene alone took over 6-7 months. So
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to say there was something that you were saying a while back, and you said something about 2 weeks. So it was probably something else besides just how long it took.
Was something else. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry
but
about
this
that.
Took
so go ahead
the
with
bed,
what you're saying.
Yeah, that took just the torture scenes alone were 6-7 months. So, you know, we worked on this film probably for a year and a half before it even went into post-production. You know, I mean, literally we didn't do it every day, but we were doing it at least three, four times a week. So, and we would start it, you know, she would get up at 5 o'clock, put on her makeup. We'd start shooting at 8 and we wouldn't be finished at 8 o'clock till 8 o'clock at night, 8, 9 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it went on for, you know, about a year and a half, maybe even longer. I don't know. But I remember that Carolina was editing at least, you know, 10 hours a day. I wouldn't even see her. She was in her office just editing, You know, I would hear screams coming from the other room. And it was screams of her, you know, editing her scenes, you know, editing me, you know, doing crazy things to her, you know. I don't want to get too much into the film. I'd like everybody to watch it. But it was, you know, went on for a long time.
What was the actual budget like? I mean, not, you don't have to tell me, like, right to the dollar, but, you know, approximately, because that was one of the questions that you wanted me to ask you.
The budget was, you know, the budget usually it could be, you know, $500,000 to $250,000, or, you know, this one was a lot less. It was a lot less, you know.
It was a micro budget.
You know, we had less than a skeleton crew. The skeleton crew was just me and her. So we did all the special effects. You know, we did, you know, everything from burning to smoke to, you know, blood to stage blood to set designing. So, you know, we would just use stuff around the house that we needed, or we found it, you know, in the attic somewhere, you know, and we'd put it in the film, you know. So it was a micro budget on this one.
Well, yeah, you know, and some of the best movies I've ever seen have been micro budget movies. There's one
yes.
film that I saw. I'll even tell you the name if you want to, like, look it up, any of the listeners, and watch it. It's called Area, give me a second, Area 401, because it's supposed to be, like, you know, Area 51. But, or
right,
Area
right.
40 some, yeah, Area 40 something. It could be like 407, but it's Area 40 something. And it's like, you can tell it's like a real low budget film. But it's done well. So it's like you don't even think about that as you're watching it. But it starts like a lot of those found footage films, which as a general rule, I don't care for them, but there are good ones. And this was one of them. And they're, like, doing this film of themselves riding this airplane to, like, teenagers or something. And then the plane starts to crash. And they did a good job of making it look like the plane was crashing, even though really all they were doing was moving their phones up and down, you know. So,
oh, no.
And if you don't want to hear this, because if you don't like spoilers, then you can, like, cover your ears or something. But I wanted to point out that at the very end, the very, very end, they had something that looked at it because it had to do with special effects and it was, you know, digital. And it looked just as good as what was in Jurassic Park.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's
good
where
movie.
All their
too.
Money went.
Oh, shit.
That's where all their money went. Well, just like back in the old days with Star Trek, you know, the old TV show
yes.
in the 60s.
Yeah.
That's why
they watched them all the time.
Their transporters. That's why they look so cool and everything, because that's where most of their money went. And that's why when they had, like, aliens, you know, they were mainly just either people in a suit or they were just some, you know, blob or something. Because they used all their money making the transporters look good.
Oh, beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah. And even in the newer incarnations, like Enterprise, there was one episode where the special effects were, like, phenomenal. It was like, whoa, this is really great. But the rest of the film was... But then there was another episode after that that all it was two of them, they were stuck in some elevator or something, and almost the whole thing was the two of them in the elevator, and there wasn't any special effects or anything. So they did the same thing like they did back in the old Star Trek, where they'd have one with really great special effects, then they'd have one with no special effects. Well, you got to save money some way. I get it. So
exactly.
Now, so you guys, this film, you know, The American Ripper, we've gone over a lot, but normally the show would be almost over with the normal hour, but I put an hour and a half because I didn't know how long it would take to get through the questions. And I didn't want you to feel like, oh, I got to talk real fast. Because the thing with Blog Talk Radio, you can be in the middle of a sentence, and if it's time for the show to end, they'll end it, whether you want them to or not, in the middle of a sentence.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that to happen. So, because right now we've got over 30 minutes, so which is great. So I'm going to give both of you, you know, one at a time, or both of you, or however you want to do it. If there's anything else that you want to say about the American Ripper that wasn't gone over already, or if you just want to embellish on something, on what was said already, start with you this time, Chuck. Anything else that you want to say about the American Ripper?
The American Ripper was a great film. We had a lot of fun making it. We never thought that it would take off this far and do so well, get winning a bunch of awards, and there was a lot of people knew that we were making it. Friends, families, fans, they all knew that we were making it. They were waiting and waiting to see it, and we had to make sure that the timing was right. We had to, first of all, the film was actually around 2.5 hours, the film that first came out. So we had to keep skinning the bone. We had to keep trimming more of the fat off the bone. There was a lot of scenes that we had to exclude, which could be maybe later down the road seen in the director's cut. But we kept trimming it, and then we got it down to about 2 hours, and then we said, okay, still too long. So we had to trim it more. So we were basically around about the 1 hour and 50 minutes, somewhere in that vicinity, getting it where it doesn't, detour too much from the story. And we felt that it grew. You can feel the drama, the suspense, and it kind of goes with the flow of the film. So we kind of, that was the first thing we had to tackle. During the filming of it, we thought it would never end. We were figuring, okay, what other scenes do we need to add? So we thought we would have the film, and then we'd say, no, we need to add another scene, and we would add another scene, and then another scene, and then those scenes were basically not even in the movie. We took them out, So that was a challenge for us to do. The end result, I think we were very, very happy with it. We're very excited about what happened. Our friends and fans and everybody, they dig it. They really liked it. I mean, look, they picked us for it. It's a best featured film, so obviously there's something great going on about it. And we're on to making other films. We already filmed another film in Poland and Europe that now is in – just not even in post-production yet. That one is another film that we did. We can't tell you about that one. That's going to be another great film that we're going to put out over the next year or so. And then we filmed in June another film up in the Poconos. We filmed a 3-month film. We filmed it in 10 days. So we have a good friend of ours, Elman. She played one of the parts of another great, great female actress, and that we kind of did. Caroline wants to say a few things too as well.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Oh, the American Ripper. So it's an hour and 50 minutes long film. It's a horror, drama, suspense. It's a little bit of a slasher if any one of you like, slasher films filled with blood and cool killing scenes, that's the movie for you to watch. And it's been released on Vudu currently on October 26th. But it's going to be also available on other platforms, which we are expecting that to happen soon. But right now, everyone can watch it on Vudu. And also, which is interesting, we put at least five of our original songs in the movie. So we have a rock and roll band as well. We are Bougie and Charlie, and we put our songs in the movie. So you can listen to them, you can hear them, they are there, and I hope you like them.
Wow, you guys really did do everything, didn't you?
Yeah, and Mac, it will be on all international platforms, as well as U.S. and also throughout the world. Tubi, Amazon Prime, all these great platforms and other great platforms as well. YouTube, the whole gamma of internet platforms. Everybody will be able to see it.
Very, very cool. But right now it's just Vudu, correct?
It's on Vudu. It should be also on Amazon Prime. I think they were having an issue with Amazon Prime. I don't know if they fixed it, but it's Amazon. Vudu does work. You can watch on there, and you can check Amazon Prime if it works. If it doesn't work there, then it'll go. You can watch it on Vudu. But as the weeks go by, you'll see more and more of the platforms coming into play. Yeah,
hopefully
it's very fun.
The listeners heard that, and they'll tune into that and give it a watch. And wow, so it sounds really, really good. I mean, I just caught little bits and pieces of it. So I'm not going to say that I watched the whole thing because I didn't, because I don't lie even to try to make somebody feel good. I'm not going to lie. But I did see bits and pieces of it, and it looks really good from what I've seen of it. So that.
Thank you, Mac. And thank you.
So one thing that I also wanted to ask, because you've done other films. Now, are any of these other films that you've done, are they available for people to watch?
Yes, they can watch Amityville, Mount Misery Road. That's on Tubi TV. You can watch that for free. It's also on Amazon Prime and other international YouTube. You can watch it there. When we put that film, Amityville, Mount Misery Road, out, it just blew up because of the name. It went viral because of Amityville. It literally just went bonkers, crazy. It's in China, it's in Germany, you can hear it in Mexico and Spain, it's just all over the world. And we even started getting bootleg from people that we don't even know who are bootlegging it. So you can just Google the name, Amityville, Mount Misery Road. I made that movie about a famous road where I grew up, 5 minutes away from the Amityville Horror House. And it's a road that's been cursed for centuries. Everybody in New York knows about this famous haunted road, and nobody did a movie about it. So as I grew up, it still never was noticed as a film. And I said, I'm going to make a film about it. And that's the film that we did on the cell phone.
It's great for Halloween.
That one's great for Halloween too. So that one's a little bit lower budget, but you can go on Google and just type in Amityville, Mount Misery Road, and you can see it all over Google. The American Ripper is our new project, and we're excited that it's being released by ITM Films. ITM Films is the distribution company that just put out Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, the famous Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. So we're good friends with them there, and they just love our film. So. And they're excited about our new stuff that we're working on. So we do have a new film in post-production right now that will probably come out early in 2024, hopefully for, Valentine's Day or Easter. We're working with our crew of editors now. We've got about four or five professional editors that are a part of our team. And, we have our film crew and everything. So we're excited. I've already finished another screenplay that I'm going to be shooting probably up in West Virginia in March. Can't tell you about that one yet, but that one's going to be another great film. So that one will probably come out maybe at the end of next year.
So if any of the listeners is interested to help us with the project, we are going to be shooting around March, April next year in around Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. If anybody is from there or knows someone there, just hit us up. We have a web, we have a Facebook fan page, The American Ripper. You can just type The American Ripper on Facebook and you can just see our fan page and you can message us and we definitely will reply.
Were you guys ever thinking about doing like a Indiegogo or a Kickstarter, or did you already do one? You know, I don't know.
Indiegogo, Kickstarter?
Yeah.
No, we haven't.
Were you thinking about
No. We haven't thought about that.
Yeah,
we're so back. We're so.
Things that I ask.
Yeah, that's okay. We're so bogged down right now in editing right now for another film that we filmed up in June. So, we're working with probably Lionsgate right now and Asylum Films and Grindstone and possibly even Warner Brothers on that one. So
cool.
We're excited about that. So we need to get that one to them. They saw the trailer on it and they just loved it. So they want to see the screener, so we're trying to get the screener out to them. But again, out of nowhere, for Halloween, The American Ripper came out, so we're excited about that. But moving forward, we have to get our other films out too. So.
Oh yeah, well, one of the main reasons why I ask is because I do have people that call me or contact me about people that they've heard. And one of the things I always get asked by people is, are they going to have an Indiegogo? Are they going to have a Kickstarter? I'm like, okay, I don't know. Unless I, had it on the show, I wouldn't know. So that's one reason why I ask, because people always ask me that. And it's understandable because people like to contribute to those. It's a way of giving money to a project, and then you get something, but it's not really worth what you're give the money, amount of money you're given, if you know what I mean. Like they might give you
if they want to give a sponsorship, that's fine. We'll put them in the film. There was an attorney that we up where we filmed up in the Poconos. Literally, the whole county one, county two, three, four counties over. They all knew that we're making this film. They're all open arms for us, from Century 21 to the bank, to the where we filmed at the. I got involved with the Pennsylvania Film Commission, and they just loved us. And we had the judges, the police officers. They all contributed their police cars. They gave us all their stuff. We didn't get any money from them. But we used our own dollars, but we made the film, and one of the guys that just loved what we were doing there, we put him in the film. He's an attorney. So he said, I would be an honor to play in your film. And I said, okay, we can put you in the film. And he couldn't believe that we put him in a great part of the film at the end of the movie. So he's in the film. He'll be in the film forever, But we're always, if somebody wants to donate money, that's great. Well, they can donate some money, Kickstarters, help us out, whatever. We'll put them in the film. We'll give them a part in the film. So we're all about that, We're all about giving back.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it sounds like you are. But if you ever do, one reason why I bring it up, too, is that you may not know this about me yet because we're, new friends, but I always – do my best to help my friends, and whatever projects they have going on, they're free to put it up on my wall. And when I have some money, which I don't always have money, but when I have some money, sometimes I even contribute my own money to whatever it is that they're doing. And I encourage other people to do the same. And most people are realistic. They know that, okay, if you want to donate, say, $50. Well, that you're not going to get something that's worth $50, because if that happened, how are you going to be making money to use the money to make the film? That doesn't even make any sense. So there was this one Kickstarter that I contributed to a while back. I won't say what it was, but for $25, and that's a nice piece of change for me, well, for most people probably. But $25, you got this little key fob, if you know what I mean, little thing that goes on your keychain, and that's what you got for
nice.
$25. Yeah, but it didn't bother me. It's like, oh, okay, but it's got the film on it, so what do I care? I didn't have to pay for it because I was going to contribute the money anyway.
And there are lots of other things
right.
that you could even do that just for an idea, since we're talking about it. And now we're down to like, but I always have good ideas for those things. So if you ever need ideas, you can contact me. But one of the things that almost always works, in a famous friend of mine actually used this and got, I'm not saying it's going to work 100% of the time, and I'm not promising anything. But for him, it worked. Because he wasn't doing this, and he wasn't getting, like, the people responding as much as he wanted. And I said, well, why don't you try this? And then he added that on, and then people started responding to that because it makes them feel like they're more, I can't think of the word I'm trying to, I want to use, like they're more a part of the film or a part of being with the actors. Because one of the things that I suggested that he put into his he had both, Indiegogo and Kickstarter. I said, one of the things is that you could offer, like, a day on the set with whatever or whoever. And then that would be where the person who contributed that money would be able to do, where you talk over the phone or whatever, and then you can do a little thing where they show you different stuff. Okay, say, like, the most popular ones are the female actresses, but although male actors are popular too, lots of times. But especially, like, for somebody like Carolina, she could say, okay, I did this movie. I'm just going to use American Ripper, the American Ripper, and this is what I had to do today, and then take the camera along with her and show what she had to do, being tied down and having the thing on, and then people will pay for that because you're doing it in a way that you're using their name because they paid for that, but it doesn't really cost you anything because you would be already doing behind-the-scenes filming anyway. But it makes them feel special because it's got their name on it. And then another thing that works, because I don't want to take up too much time, but another thing that works is if you offer to either their name in the film somewhere or like a photo somewhere in the film, or if you have them be able to pick the name of a character, and then a character will be written with that name, and then they would get credit at the end or something. I mean, there are just so many things.
Like a
really thought
on the shelf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there are just so many things that you could do that don't really cost you much of anything that would get money to come in. I mean, hopefully. Because it did work for him. I mean, yeah, a lot of it had to do with his celebrity, but however, I've seen it happen with the less, I don't want to say less popular because they're popular, but the less famous, put it that way, that they still get the same thing. And I'm not saying all my ideas work all the time, but they have worked. And I like to help my friends when I can. So if it's something I can do for you guys, let me know and I'll do it, sharing something, putting it on my wall.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to keep on. I may hold you to that.
You know, that's okay. I've had many people hold me to it. And one of the things that I've done, because I do all kinds of things for my friends, and I have introduced people to other people that they wouldn't have known otherwise, and many times they end up doing films together. It's not true all the time.
Wow.
It is some of the time. And then, of course, they get back to me and tell me how great it was that they were introduced to them, and then they work with them and everything.
Wow, beautiful. That's very sweet.
Yeah, and it's not that I'm bragging on myself. It's just that I'm trying to show that, yeah, I want to do what I can for my friends. So if you've got something going on, and it's not just in the film business, because I have people that are although you guys are musicians as well, but I have people that are musicians. They wrote books. One of my most often guests, I'm losing my words here for some reason, one of my most often guests is an author, and so we talk about his books. And he writes Sherlock Holmes, because Sherlock Holmes actually for quite a while now has been in the public domain. You know, anybody could write Sherlock Holmes. You could write Sherlock Holmes if you wanted to. You can call it Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
Yeah, because it's in the public domain. But he writes a lot of Sherlock Holmes, and he's a very, very good writer. And so I've had him on my show a few times. And I try to help him, get people to, you know, buy his books, read his books, and listen to the show. And he's over there in jolly old England. So so I go outside the country, too.
That's cool that you're doing that. You know, it comes back to you in good ways when you help people out. So
yeah, sometimes it does, yeah. So I didn't want to get into too much on me, but like I said, you guys are easy to talk to. But I did want to, since we're getting down to like 13 minutes, which is normally plenty of time, but this way you don't have to feel constrained. If you want to give like words of, we'll start with Carolina this time. If you want to give words of wisdom or any kind of encouragement or anything to anybody going into the filmmaking business, or whether it be actress, editor, or whatever they're doing, if to say to anybody that's thinking about doing this kind of thing. So, Carolina, you start.
Thank you. Yes, never, ever give up, but it's just, you know, everybody knows it. You have to believe in what you're doing and be confident what you're doing and know that you're going to complete the project, you're going to do it, and do not look back, just move forward and just keep moving until you complete, you know, your project, or, you know, until you develop into full-blown actress. Just do everything what you can to just, you know, self-development. You know, I think self-development is very important, and you just have to believe in yourself and don't look back and work really hard. So with me, I had to learn everything from the scratch. I didn't know that my first movie is going to be viral. I had no idea, and I just, you know, decided to learn everything from scratch by myself, the editing, the acting, the makeup, and stuff like that. I thought it's fun. It has to be fun for you, though. My advice is, if you don't like it, don't do it. Don't even start. Do something that you like. So if you like it, just keep going and never give up. If it's, even if it's not working or it didn't give you the results that you expected, you just do it another time, and just, you know, and another time. And it's going to maybe take 5 years, and it's going to may take 10 years before you're successful, but eventually you will if you're persistent. So I think persistency and hard work are the keys.
Very good words of wisdom, Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck, how about you?
A lot of the words that Carolina says, I agree with. You got to have a very positive a mind approach. You have to be very determined, disciplined, tenacious a little bit. You have to, you know, dream, follow your dreams, you know. That's what we did. We liked what we were doing, and, you know, we said, hey, we want to make people happy. We want to show them our craft. We want to show them our art, you know. And, you know, we're entertainers, so we kept working at our craft, making it better and better, and you know, there was times where things were tough, especially during COVID. And look, we made a movie during COVID, so we pulled that one off. So it's because we would determine, you know, there was times when we'd wake up and said, you know, do we need to do this today? We can do something else. Let's go, you know, let's just watch some TV. And I was like, no, let's finish it. You know, let's finish it. It's rewarding if we finish it, you know? So after we finished it, we felt rewarded that we did something. And, you know, we just kept following, you know, our dream, you know, and for anybody that's listening to us now, if you believe in what you're doing and you continue to try your hardest at it, especially music or anything to do with movie directing or anything that you do with entertainment or even regular day, you know, any jobs or trying to move up the ladder at a position at work, you got to chipping away at it, chipping away at it until you get that feeling of gratitude, you know. Once you get that feeling of gratitude, people will start to notice you and start to take notice. You know, that's kind of happened with us, you know. We, again, never thought it would get to where we are now. And it was because we just kept going at it and pushing at it you know, being good mentors to each other, being positive to each other. You know, sure, we're humans. You know, there was times when we were both down, but we, again, had to pick ourselves up and say, hey, let's finish this thing. Let's not closet it. We don't want it to sit in the closet. Let's get it out there. Let's finish it, you know. And that's what we did. And now we're very happy that everybody can watch The American Ripper and get a chance to see it. It'll be in history forever. It isn't, you know, get entertained. It'll be in movie cinematic, you know, cinema forever. And we're now on to other projects. And we got fired up from this one. We got fired up from the one before that. And we've got fired up from these movies that we made over in Europe that we're going to be finishing. And it's just one thing after another. We just keep going on and on and on. You know, we want to be a household name. You know, we want everybody around the world to know us, you know.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be a good chunk of people that are going to know your name. Well, both of you, to say. So.
That's cool.
They'll
yeah.
stick to the American Ripper.
They'll stick to the American Ripper.
Well, we're getting close to the end, and I can, like, stop the show anytime I want. And since we're almost to the end, I figure, well, I'll do what I usually do when we only have, like, 2 minutes left. I will have each of you, or just one of you, however you want to work it, to say whatever it is that you want to say in closing, and then let people know how to contact you for whatever reason, whether it be that they want to give you money or they want you to help them with their film or they want to help you with your film, et cetera. So if one or both of you want to do that, now's the time.
Well, first I'd like to say, Mac, Cheryl, thank you for so much for having us on your show. You were very kind, very humble, to reach out to me and Carolina and say, hey, I'd like to do a story about you guys, have you on my show. And we think that was very sweet for you to do that. And as far as reaching out to us, we're going to keep Facebook in touch page. With you. Carolina wants to say a few words here.
Facebook page.
Sure.
We have a Facebook page. It's called The American Ripper. You just can follow us or you just can text us there. We are working as well on the Instagram, but mainly Facebook, The American Ripper. So just come on over and follow us, and we are always giving the updates there or behind the scenes, or we are putting, you know, the pictures from other movies we are doing, and you can just shoot us a message right there. And, of course, if you want to find the movie, you can also just go to IMDb and put The American Ripper there. You can find our behind the scenes, our posters. You can give us a review on IMDb, and you can see the trailer there. And also you can go on Vudu and just type The American Ripper, and that's how you can watch the movie.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I'm sure the listeners appreciate that, because that is why you're here, to talk about your films and some of your other upcoming films, which you've already done. So thank you for the kind words about me. It's appreciated. And I want to thank both of you for being on the show. You've both been great. And I think you're both very talented. And you're very real And not that I would say that you're not real, but you're more like real people than some people that are in the filmmaking business. And I say that from experience.
Excellent. That's a good compliment to us, and we appreciate those kind words. Because we know that if we're humble to everybody and everybody enjoys our either music or our movies, then we've accomplished.
We have a good community.
Heart to heart situation, and this world has changed a little bit, and we're all about peace, and we're all about making love, keeping everybody happy, and keeping everything peace, a lot of peace, entertain the world in a good way. So we appreciate you being a great host tonight, and talking with us.
Well, I appreciate the both of you. Now, I just want to make sure if there's anything else that you guys want to say, you can say it now because there's still a couple of minutes. But if you don't have anything else to say, then I'm going to close out the show. So, your choice.
Just everybody, hey, thank you for listening to, me, Mac, and Carolina tonight and on the Mac Show radio show. And we want everybody to check out the American Ripper. We love you to take a look at our art that we did. And happy Halloween to you. What a great night to be talking to Mac Cheryl. And happy Halloween to everybody. Trick or treat to everybody. If you watch the American Ripper, just make sure that your doors are locked and your windows are locked. And I would watch it with somebody, so you feel secure.
Get some popcorn and pumpkin spice.
Carolina's saying get some pumpkin spice and popcorn and some nice candies and enjoy our film.
Okay.
And thank you guys for listening to us. Yeah. Thank you all from Bethpage, Long Island, all our friends, all our fans. All around the world, Ohio people that we know there, and we appreciate it. Anything else, Mac, you want to say? Or?
No, I'm good. I was just giving you an opportunity to say whatever the last thing you wanted to say. So if you're both done, then I'm going to go ahead and close out the show. But I want to thank you, and I want the people to – I'm going to reiterate who you were, Chuck and Carolina Marangello. Those were my guests. And as you could tell from listening, they are very interesting people, and there will be a recorded version, so stay tuned for that. And make sure to watch The American Ripper, and especially if you go on Vudu tonight, you can watch it tonight on Halloween. So happy Halloween to the both of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mac. Happy Halloween. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.